hands. This is a sacred subject. He speaks of the heart, not of the head. And one of the significant or the significant contribution of theosophy to the world of thought in science, religion and philosophy is the existence of the White Lodge of Adepts, consisting of beings who have reached the highest pinnacle of spiritual enlightenment. A band of fraternity of holy adepts who have all the knowledge possible in the world of conditioned existence, in the world of the spiritual existence, acquired all the wisdom and yet not enter the final stage of nirvana or not the extinction of consciousness but merging of the individual into the whole. The rays of the sun into the soul, the sun, or a drop in the ocean of life, consciousness and being. And second great contribution is the holy institution of Guru Shishya Guru Parampara chain, institution into initiation into the arcana of being, into the mysteries of life and being, where a student grows like a flower unfolding its petals to the sun, guided by a living intelligences of the cosmos that are behind the governance of the natural order of things in nature. This institution is holy. In India it has been there in bits and pieces, most important in the Hindu philosophy, in the Upanishads and so on. But its complete explanation, its complete dimensions and bring to awareness of the thinking mind and the sentient soul in its total panoramic perspective is given in the philosophy of theosophy by Madame Blavatsky. The messenger for this 21st, 20th century and for this whole Kali Yuga to come, it is not yet ended. A disciple becomes, he is not made. An adept becomes, he is not made. And life is a school of discipline. So discipleship includes disciplinary approach to life and being. He has to be brought to awareness that he is a conscious being. Then to be brought to the fact of self-consciousness as an individuality, I am I. And then a divine self-consciousness when he blooms into an adept. It's not a miraculous growth, but adept becomes, he is not made. A process of gradual evolution, unfolding. And when we say unfolding, it implies that something is folded in already. And that folded in, outfolds through discipline, through the whole life and through a series of life and incarnations to come. A teacher, when the pupil is ready, the master will appear. Another phrase, when the materials are ready, the architect will appear. All the materials, raw materials, are already existing within the human constitution. Therefore, all the books, all the religions, all the holy scriptures affirm that Man is a multi-complex being, multi-dimensional being, with all his aspects, facets, from the body to Atma, a sevenfold being, physical body, astral body, life energy, principle of prana, principle of desire or karmic nature, the principle of manas, thinking, the principle of buddhi, intellection, discrimination, discernment, judgment, judiciousness, and circumspection as a vehicle of Atma. And all these instruments are there in us. Means, methods, instruments, vehicles, principles, koshas, shariras, mentioned in various philosophies and the various names, labels, nothing. All this is preparing ourselves to become disciples before the Guru come on the stage to instruct him face to face. And no Guru external can be of any help to us till you recognize, till you experience, till you realize that the Guru is within first. And who is that Guru? Who is that Guru who is within us? That voice of the silence. Silence can instruct. If we but listen, not merely hear, but if we once listen to that voice of conscience, the flickering reminiscence of the one divine buddhi. Buddhi, which is the highest faculty in the human constitution, as a passive vehicle of Atma to help us to become one with Paramatma, because that seventh principle is Atma, one with Paramatma. Buddhi is one with the universal oversoul, is set, is spec and aspect of the unknown root. And the mind of man is one with the universal mind, and accept and incarnated Manasaputras that will enable us to become very receptacle to the divine influx within the human constitution. A guru is of no value. A guru means one who dispels darkness of ignorance with the help of light. He does not pour light into us to dispel darkness. He removes the veil, he unveils, he discovers, puts out the veil and puts the disc off, and the light shines within. The disciple is made aware of it. He must have read it. We read things, but do not understand. We do not delve deep into that consciousness and depth of consciousness wherein this light can shine like an alabaster vase. You get the point? And the greatest guru, says Madame Blavatsky, is the seventh principle centered in the sixth. Therefore, all teachers, all gurus, all the whole idea in Patanjali Yoga Sutras, Voice of the Silence, Bhagavad Gita, Gathas of Lord Zarathustra, speaks of that divine presence within the human heart, of which the head is but an instrument. Intellect cannot fathom the depth of consciousness spiritual. But the intellect must be tamed, because it is diverted by our emotional nature, our passional nature. We have to become dispassionate and then become compassionate. Not that any of these principles in man are to be cut out, to be destroyed, but to be tamed. The beast has to be tamed. Training process, mind control, culture of concentration. The greatest drawback of our humanity today in the present 21st century is lack of concentration and being drawn away by distractions and temptations in the outside physical, objective, phenomenal universe. So many distracting forces that take us away from concentration at the center of life, the heart of being is celestial rest and peace. And the mind flows out instead of opening itself to that which is waiting, that a pupil here and a pupil there can come, and the guru emerges on the scene when the receptacle is ready. Therefore, to become a disciple, you have to prepare yourself at all levels. We are students of philosophy. We are studying all these things, seven paramitas, through wisdom of a spiritual kind in the Gita, Dhammapada, everything is all there. But have we lived the life? See what the saying says. Lead the life necessary. Action. Deliberate, conscious, willful, intentional action with a pure motive, not for myself to value, but for others. Lead the life necessary for the acquisition of such knowledge, and powers and wisdom will come to you naturally. In the course of time, in him who is perfected in devotion to the Supreme Spirit, Atman, Paramatma. Each one is the ray of the Absolute. Each one is a reflection of the Divine within him, trying to make itself felt to the incarnated consciousness of the man involved in the meshes of matter. He has to get out of this through training, culture of concentration. All these pamphlets are there on the book table for your inspection and for your study. Where do we find the Guru? Not in books. Don't go to the Himalayas to find him there. They are there, of course. Seek for him who will give the birth in the hall of wisdom within you. So you have got this here. Seek for him who will give the birth in the hall of wisdom, the hall wherein all shadows are, which lies beyond, wherein all shadows are known, and with the light of truth shining with unfading glory. And you are blissfully ignorant and deaf and dumb. Books are necessary, not to be thrown away. Somebody said, burn the books. No. Keep them for posterity. They are pointers, landmarks, signposts for the traveling pilgrim. We are all pilgrims going on the walk of life, trying to reach to the distant goal which we perceive dimly in our brain consciousness. But it does not penetrate into our mind, soul consciousness at the higher levels of manas and buddhi. It is lying dormant, latent, concealed. It has to be awakened first, then to be activated second, then to be lived up to, it shines through and floods our total being with that light which shineth in darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not. That feeling will develop through devotion and bhakti. True devotion will lead you to the knowledge. Do your duty to friends, family, household, community, race, nation. Wherever you are, begin the journey. Don't go out there to seek the Guru. He is not available. Seek it within you. And there are so many instructions given in Raja Yoga or occultism. What are the various rules of chelaship? First, who is a theosophist? Very strict definition. One who does. not really one who talks. Number two, self-improvement in the key to theosophy. Who is a true theosophist? See the definition. Any person of average intellectual capacities, leaning towards the metaphysical of pure, unselfish life, who finds more joy in helping his neighbor than in receiving help himself. One who is ever ready to sacrifice his own pleasures for the sake of others. Who loves truth, goodness, wisdom for their own sake and not for the benefit they may confer on himself. That is a theosophist. What does it mean? Don't talk yourself as a chela or nothing. There is a pledge that is given to be silent. Silence can speak in secrecy, in whisper. The teacher whispers. When you feel the thrill, disciples, I like the strings of a soul called Veena, says the voice of the silence. Disciples like unto a string of the Veena. Humanity, the sounding board. One responds to the touch of the teacher, the upadhyaya, the preceptor. He feels the thrill and the vibration in himself. He has conquered himself, his lower nature. He has conquered himself, being subject to time, space and causation. He has become absolutely impersonal in his thinking, attitude, behavior, action. Personality, individuality, divinity, three layers. He goes through them, ascends gradually, don't be in a hurry, don't rush into the circle of ascetics. And we will read out what means of Shelashiv. A Shelashiv is a psychic solvent. The moment we turn to the higher purpose of human existence, that of union with the divine, to learn at the feet of the Guru in silence and reverence, not to be shouted from the rooftops 10,000 times, Om, Om, Om. In the silence and the solitude, there you find me, ready to lead you by the hand and take you. You must become insignificant speck in a vast stupendous bowl, but you have within you the warrior. Search for him, and that warrior will fight for you. Light on the path, excellent, through the gates of gold, they are showing the way. Then who is a Chelashiv? Once we turn our eyes to the realm of the occult, various forces become active in you. Your life becomes a field of battle. So many events crowd upon you. So many demands are made on you. All this turmoil and chaos within the human system, because it's a churning pot. Life is a churning pot, a burning cauldron. Out of the furnace of man's life and his black smoke, wind flames arise. Flames purify, ascending onwards, lit the karmic eye, wind in the end, glorious. Glorified of the three vestures of the path. So these vestures have to be purified, modulated, so that the divine influence can flood the field of our human consciousness. First, we human. We all the time laying emphasis on personality, Mr. X, Miss Y, and Mrs. Z. These are forms. The reality has no form, formless. And that is when you become a real impersonal force for universal beneficence. All powers, forces, faculties lie in the higher pole, Atma Buddhi Manas, of the spiritual safety net. These are not allowed to express themselves, manifest, because of the obstacles of the human lower nature, with all its passions of anger, jealousy, etc., 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 all the 10 basic emotions. We are passionately attached to the world of objects. We are to detachment is the key. A master, a disciple comes to the guru and asks, "O teacher, what shall I do to gain wisdom? O master, what to gain perfection?" And the teacher, the upadhyaya, the guru says, "Search for the path, but O Rana, learn first to separate head learning from soul wisdom, eye doctrine from the heart doctrine. Before the path is entered, you have to slay thy lunar body, cleanse thy mind body, and make clean thine heart." These are all the lower elements have to be purified, divested of all matter, material particles, so that you become pure. Ethics, live with divine ethics. The theosophy is divine is practical, bearing the divine ethics. Ethics are the soul of wisdom and religion. And unless you are pure in heart, you cannot see God. Of course, the commandments are there: lie not, steal not, kill not, covet not, bear not false witness. 5 commandments of Moses, 10 commandments, Dasashila, Panchashila of Lord Buddha, all these niyamas, niyavata, Patanjali, Yoga Sutras, okay, we rattle out by words, but these are words. Live it, act upon it. Become a fit vehicle. And in that, need not shout. Your being, your demeanor, your gait, your posture, your sartorial presentation, your being reflects. Just like apparel oft proclaims the man what he is evidently appear, or evidently what the master can see and is ready to receive you. But first prepare. Don't rush in. Don't be impatient. And you're Paramitas are the voice of the silence, Dana, Sila, Shanti, and so on. Listen to the noise outside and forget the small, still voice of conscience. Shun ignorance, shun illusion. Ever thy face from world deception, distrust thy senses, they are false. But within thy body, the shrine of thy senses, seek the impersonal for the eternal man. So man is mortal, man is immortal, man is transitory, ephemeral, perishable, man is also immortal. He is personal, he is individual, he is divine in his potentiality, awaiting unfoldment in actu, as a unitary sectary. And having sought him out, look inward. Thou art Buddha. Thou art that. I am that I am. Nameless. unnameable, unspeakable, unthinkable, and so on and on and on. All these are the attributes of the Absolute Consciousness, but we on earth are an aspect of that. And on earth, we cannot have but only relative truth, some vritti satya, not an absolute truth, which is paramartha satya. Truth in modern life, the pamphlet is there, truth in modern life. The ULT pamphlet number 33 on the ground, great master's letter. Why the Theosophical Society was formed, not for the students of philology, but for the students of occultism, occult science, that will lead you to the goal of perfection. Lead you to the Arab path, which was mentioned in the voice of the silence. Now, what are the rules of Chelashwar? Once one is prepared, one is awakened, and is earnest, sincere, remember, is earnest and is sincere. Rules of discipleship are given in the Raja Yoga Occultism, in the chapter on Chelas and Lay Chelas, and they are very stringent rules. Perfect physical and moral physical health. Now this is, today none of us are healthy. And see the varieties of diseases we are subjected to. Absolute mental moral purity in thought, word, deed, motivation. Unselfishness of purpose, universal charity, pity for all animate and non-animate beings. Dana, first paramita. Charity and love in all. Silently, let not the left hand know what the right hand does. Truthfulness and unswerving faith in the law of karma, independent of any power in nature that could interfere, a law whose course is not to be obstructed by any agency, not to be caused to deviate by prayer or by propitiatory exoteric ceremony. All ceremonial worship, all these things are secondary, peripheral. There are so many places of worship, churches, mosques, agyaris, fire temples, mandir, and they are fighting out there in North India. Ralph Waldo Emerson has said, God is enshrined within the human heart, above the ruins of churches and temples. Now he was not a theosophist. Above the ruins of temples and churches and mosques and what not, God is enshrined there. And Akash Bairam is within us, not in the fire temple. Those who are not able to understand this, go to secret doctrine term. The wonderful eye opener. You touch in any aspect this holy book, you feel the breath, you feel the depth, you feel its profundity. See the all encompassing view and perspective that it gives from all angles, symbolical angle, ceremonial angle, not this, all the ceremonies, symbols, objects have meaning and it gives you the meaning. Of every object there is inexhaustible meaning, says Thomas Carlyle. I see in it what the eye brings, the means of seeing. Now here is a poet. who speaks the divine truth. I don't think he has read the secret doctrine. He was earlier than the secret doctrine. I see in him what the eye brings of meaning. When we say we are struggling with some problem and suddenly tube light shines, it opens and we say, huh, I see. That is not seeing. There is difference between seeing and looking. You look at the traffic, at the marketplace, at the confusion of the city life, traffic and all that. You see, I understand. The eye sees through the mind, not the brain. Brain is the instrument of the mind. And so here, theosophy comes into conflict with all the available psychologists or parapsychologists. And since you cannot challenge the scientific mind, because it is an intellectual mind, you have to move in a humble manner. So we are to seek wisdom, but be humble if thou attain to wisdom. Be humbler still if wisdom thou hast mastered. I am learned. I have knowledge. Knowledge is proud. There is no so much. Wisdom is humble. That he knows no more. See the difference. See the level of consciousness. Simply transcends an average consciousness of an average being. And no one comes to listen to this wisdom. The Gita says, seek this wisdom by service first, duty. Strong search, we are not searching. We study for livelihood. But beyond the livelihood is life itself, which is breathing, pulsating. That life which we are missing, we burn the midnight oil, become graduates. Yeah, we have to graduate out of the school of life. Life is a school. We have to graduate out of it to become the pupil of a disciple, a chela, a provisional chela, an accepted chela, and finally, one with the Guru. When I, my personality, become with one with my individuality, both are impersonal. Individuality and divinity are impersonal within this corpus, and the Atma Buddhi Manas becomes the one, the all. The source from which it has come, we go back to that source, plus the experience gain, and this is the pilgrimage of life. Be patient, shanti is sweet and not can profit. Vairagya, indifferent to pain and pleasure, truth pursuit. Truth alone. Dhyana, concentration, meditation, samadhi. Reflection. Ah, we have no time, we are too busy. I will wait till I retire. Perhaps there will not be time for them, time to go upstairs. The journey begins with youth. In youth we seek for that. Don't wait till old age overcomes you. And in old age is a natural process of senescence. And there is a world of difference between senescence and senility. And today in this complex world, there is more often what we call pre-senility. That is, we become old earlier in young life. Then, courage, absolute courage, undaunted by any emergency, even by peril to life. Then intuitive perception of I being a ray of Paramatma. The real I is unknown to me as a person, but it is there, search for it. Balance perspective while living in the body, not flights of fancy. Calm indifference form, but appreciation, just appreciation of everything that is considered the objective of the transitory world in its relationship to the invisible world. The world of objects, which is visible, but there is also invisible world which we can't see with our personal eye. But we have got the intuitional eye, the eye of Shiva, the third eye. You get the point? Intuitional eye. Eye of spirit, the eye of Brahma, whatever name you may call it, that can see into a thing, inside, perspicacity, discernment, judgment, circumspection, that eye unfolds. The eye that is beyond time and space, says Madame Blavatsky, beautiful language. The perceptions and apprehensions of the higher mind are infinitely superior to and a millionfold powerful than the perceptions of the mortal eye. Higher Manas, being a child of the Manasaputra universal mind, it contains within it all the memories of the past life, which Lord Buddha went into 500 years of past life and can see some Buddha. Infinite vision, flawless, the pure in heart, see God. To live for others is the foundation of knowledge of two spiritual beings. With all this, we are told, this has to be developed by the chela himself, unhelped, before he is put to the test by the chela, by the teacher, the guru. So you can understand. And then of course all at the lower levels he is given so many things, abstain from meat, abstention from overindulgences, vegetarianism, silent repetition of sacred texts in secrecy and silence, not shouting in the top of the voice. The two wisdom of a spiritual kind mentioned in the Gita. There is no knowledge there. There are the qualities required to be developed in the disciple. Worship, pain, a solitary spot, silent repetition of sacred texts, wants of pleasure in congregations of men. Respect for spiritual instructors, never ceasing love for me alone, the self being effaced. Charity, chastity, purity, harmlessness, freedom from pride, anger, anxiety. Such a man is called a Muni. All these are the levels of consciousness one ascends. A Muni, a Vairagya deities, and so on and on, at the seven layers of consciousness. It's an ocean. Begin at the lower level. Experience the breath and the depth. And things will begin to unfold. You feel the vibrations as you move along the right channels. Not deserting your family. Take the permission. Go around the parents before you go to the... As Dabodam Avalokiteshvara did it, you see, went round the parents. With the permission of the parents, he was taken to the master's ashram. Bleeding, he was suffering from tuberculosis. Bleeding, fever, but he was taken care of. Glorious examples are there. Poets have sung all these things. Various dimensions are there. And finally, some of the things from the Mahatma's words. To recognize in Atma the highest leader, the ruler in the work of perception, and in the will the highest executive energy that may be taken in hand by one of the initiates under the time-honored rules. Then he showed the mysterious path which leads him to death, which will discern the path of highest kailasha. We have got 7 minutes. lots of things are to be told. We have just given you the second chapter of the Gita, tells you that you have to withdraw the senses from the objects of sense. So train your senses properly, indriyas, your faults, recognize them at our level. When someone points you out, you listen, give them the listening. He may be pointing out the defect in me, thanking that you are now becoming aware through the another eye. Look at the world through other eyes, not through your own, because you are not expert. We think we are very good. If someone points out, and then we become aware of it, that's a step forward. So others, when they point out faults in you, you accept it. Don't feel proud. Questions?
Can jealousy be a bad influence?
Huh? Of course. In the Key to Theosophy, we are given marriage and theosophy. In the Key to Theosophy, marriage is not a, at our level, it is an essential thing. At a higher level, when we become accepted chelas, asceticism becomes a rule. But at our level, it becomes a complementary to the, this thing, because the two help each other, Purusha and Prakriti, are without beginning. You get the point, duality of the cosmos, the dichotomy of life is essential to be appreciated. You can't appreciate light unless there is darkness. The opposites, the law of curiosity or cycles are there. So there is no path. Nowhere is it in this matter that at a certain stage of discipleship, when one becomes one with this matter, it becomes a necessary thing. Complete sexual control. And no, the one who is indiscriminately and inordinately indulgent in sex, there is no hope for it. There is one of the conditions that is there.
When you read the lives of disciples, you find that life of disciples. You find that there are so many trials and difficulties to which they pass on. So Chelas and Chelas and other chapters to point out that there are going to be lot of difficulties.
Yeah. So
people will be put off.
People will be put off. Yes, that can happen to a merchant. But for a student of theosophy, having read in depth and not merely cursory, there are three ways of reading a book. Cursory glance. A storybook is a fine thing. Just finish a novel in one day. Because it's interesting, it's all objectively thing. Secondly, read a book with a little more intention to pass an examination. So our examination is at the third level, in depth, breadth and profundity. And when we must enter the depth of consciousness, where we feel the desire, the urge to grow, we have experienced the life and we say it's a vain vanity. Doesn't interest us. In youth, of course, we will be there, but later on a stage comes when that interest becomes less and less. And then, when you touch the depth of consciousness, you will experience more and more trials and tribulations. Like the wanderings of Ulysses, like the Book of Enoch, the Book of Job, the Bulwer Lytton Zenoni, when you read these books, the trials are there, as the Guru is putting you in this trial to bring out your past karma, so your progress can be accelerated. You get the point? That is why the trials come, to accelerate the process, like a growth of a plant in a hot house, quickening process, quickening your evolutionary process faster, allowing you to endure the tortures of life to the extent of your karmic stamina, not of your incarnated consciousness, but of your atmic consciousness, higher manas. This higher manas has the capacity to bear the trials, which the lower manas has not. Oh God, we say, oh, why this so much? What have I done to deserve this? Nothing happens, except under the law of karma, which the master is manipulating. More and more you are given the trial so that you gain strength to passing through the furnace of life. Life is kindled. The spark is thrown up. You are growing more and more. That is why those trials of a disciple are there. This is a process in evolutionary pilgrimage. Consider yourself as the pilgrim. Analyze yourself as a divine pilgrim, the spectator, the admonisher, the sustainer, also the Paramatma, Maheshwara, the highest soul. You get the point. Now,
A probationary disciple and an accepted disciple
will go through more and more trials so that he is rapidly gone through in 7 short births, which we will take the long into reincarnations and cycles. So manvantras after manvantras will pass. You get the point. This is at an accepted level of chela. Those are at a higher level. Let us begin at this lower level. Conquer small faults of our, so that there is no necessity for bigger faults to come. Then you will ripen. Karma ripens. You see that ripening of karma, precipitation of karma. You are washing off your past debts, karmic debts. As you advance, your past flows, obstruction. As you advance further, and the master can even help you to come out of Devakan earlier, when deserved. Our time is up, and where shall we end? Kathopanishad, the last. This self, the higher self, cannot be gained by the Veda, nor by intellectual power, nor by much learning. He is to be gained only by the one whom he chooses. The Guru chooses that moment of time, and that higher self is Guru, the Divine, the law of karma, whom he chooses. To such as one, the self reveals his own nature. You are revealed. Man is more subjected to the fumes coming out from his lower nature, whereas revelation comes from our higher nature. Through the channel, the antaskarana, the bridge, which we have to build up as a disciple. And once one will become the accepted disciple, the master pours his knowledge into you, like a water flowing from a higher level to a lower level across a conduit or a pipe which is not blocked. Remove these blocks and you see, you and the Guru are one. External Guru is an embodiment of the inner Guru.